السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی کنٹینیوئنگ ود دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عثمان رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. حضرت عثمان رضی اللہ عنہ ہمسیلف پیڈ اٹینشن ٹو دا ایشو آف حسبہ انسپیکشن as well as delegating it to others. At times when he could do it himself, he did it himself, otherwise he would delegate this task to others. So what did he inspect? The only thing we think about inspection, worry about the money, have the accountant to count the money, right? Now what inspections he was doing? As part of his inspection, Uthman radiallahu anhu denounced Muhammad bin Ja'far bin Abi Talib. Now who is this? No. Ja'far bin Abi Talib was who? Ja'far bin Abi Talib. Abu Talib is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle. Right? So Ja'far, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's cousin, radiallahu anhu. Now this is Muhammad bin Ja'far. Now you see the beautiful thing, look at the justice of Islam. Ja'far ibn, what is he known as? Ja'far At-Tayyar. Limada? His hands were chopped off. In which battle? Muta. Right? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah ta'ala has blessed him with wings to fly in Jannat. Right? So now this is his son. But no, if he did something that was wrong, maybe he erred or whatever, no consideration was given. No, don't tell him anything. You know who was his father. You know which family he comes from. No. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Right? So, he was denounced. Why? For wearing a garment dyed with safflower. In other words, like a bright yellow or orange color. Today this has become a norm. Right? You go to the masjids in communities, you'll see men wearing yellow slippers, red slippers, orange slippers. Nobody tells them anything. Nobody tells them anything. Right? Now what we say? It is coming for namaz. Never mind. No matter how he's dressed, or at least coming for namaz. How long are we going to keep making at least? Mustn't tell anybody anything. Because bo lagi jai. He get very offended. He won't come back for namaz. The fellow is coming with two lens haircut, don't say nothing. Spans beneath his ankle, don't say nothing. He got earring in his ears, don't say nothing. Mustn't say anything. The person is wearing such kind clothing, his satar is exposed. Don't say anything. Mustn't say anything. So how are we going to make nahi anil munkar, amar bil maruf? Now look at Uthman radiallahu anhu. He same time denounced him. It was narrated that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Uthman radiallahu anhu went to Makkah Mukarramah for Hajj. The wife of Muhammad bin Ja'far bin Abi Talib entered upon him. Muhammad bin Ja'far entered upon him and spent the night with him. The next morning he came with traces of perfume on him, wearing something that was dyed with safflower. It had a reddish color. He caught up with the people in a place called Malal before they moved on. When Uthman radiallahu anhu saw him, he rebuked him and he told him, are you wearing a garment dyed with safflower? When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade that, how can you wear that? So this is one way that he made inspection. And when he made the inspection, if something was wrong, they kept on inspecting, they kept on checking. That is the duty of a leader. It's not only to worry about the finances. Finances too is an important thing, but what about the deen? Another example, Uthman radiallahu anhu sent back women, right, who were going out for Umrah or Hajj. They're going for Umrah, they're going for Hajj. But he realized that these women were supposed to still be in iddat. How are they traveling now? He's supposed to still be in Iddat. He sent this woman back. He said, no, you go back home, you're not supposed to be traveling. And what they were going for? Umrah and Hajj. In today's time, ladies in Iddat, no, I have to go drop my children off in school. Have to go to work, have to go do this, have to go do that. Like as if to say, all the men folk in the family have passed away. Nobody can do anything for them. It's not nobody can do anything for them. They don't want anybody to do anything. Yeah, illa mashallah, you may get some lady. She got nobody to do anything for her. So then there the fuqaha, they have given some jawaz. Whoever is in that kind of a predicament, they must find out from a mufti at that time. But generally, most families, somebody will take the children madrasa, bring them back. Somebody will take, go and run the errands. And today's time, you got Checkers 60, you got Mr. Delivery, you got, what? All this couriers and everybody. You can sit at home and do everything at home. You don't even have to leave your house. Everything you can do from the house. But still they want to run around. Gee, he also forbade people to become preoccupied with keeping pigeons when life became easy for them. And he commanded them to slaughter these pigeons. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi, narrated, he's narrating from Hassan, who said that, I heard Uthman radiallahu anhu enjoining in his khutbah, meaning in his khutbah he said, the killing of dogs and the slaughtering of pigeons. Now what was the whole thing about the pigeons? People were getting involved in futile activity. What was the thing about the dogs? Why he issued all this? This you will learn in the kitabs, etc. However, the point here is that he didn't just leave people loose to do whatever they want to do. Today when we have left the ummah loose, you can't tell that person to pick his ijar up. You can't tell that the women folk that they must cover their hair. You can't say nothing. So then, what situation we have come into? We even lending and borrowing money on interest. Because nothing you can talk. So everybody is just doing their own things. The other day, one marriage took place. I won't call it a nikah. One marriage took place. One side, the boy, he is a Hindu, he accepted Islam, or I don't know whether he accepted Islam, Allah knows best. The girl supposed to be a Muslim, but don't know what she is. So now one side they're having nikah in the masjid. In the hall, they're having wedding function with idols on the tables. So this is what will happen. When there is no inspection, nobody can say anything. Nobody must have authority. Everybody must just be left free to do whatever they feel like doing. Everybody is an authority to themselves. G, his objection to playing with dice. Dice didn't come out now. Yeah, maybe this dicing we think came out now. This racing, you know, they say with dicing. That time there were no motor cars, but they used to race that time too, with the horses and the camels, etc. But this playing with the dice. So Usman radiallahu anhu used to forbid playing with dice, and he commanded whoever had them in his house must burn them or break them. Whoever had a dice, burn them or break them. Imam Bayhaqi narrated from Zubayd bin Salt that he heard Usman radiallahu anhu say when he was on the mimbar, O people, beware of gambling. Because people used to gamble using the dice. Beware of gambling. For I have been told that some of you have them in your houses. Whoever has them in his house, let him burn them or break them. Uthman radiallahu anhu said on another occasion when he was on the mimbar, O people, I spoke to you about these dice, and I have not seen you taking them out. I was thinking of ordering that fire would be brought, then I would send men to the houses of those who have them in their houses to burn them down with them inside. And how the Shia, they always try to portray Uthman radiallahu anhu. You know, he was too soft. Does this sound like a soft person? Yes, he had a soft nature. But when it came to deen, he was firm. came to establishing the laws of deen, he was firm. Uthman radiallahu anh would denounce those whom he saw committing evil or carrying weapons, and he would expel them from Madinah Munawwara. It was narrated that Salim bin Abdullah radiallahu anh said, if Uthman radiallahu anh saw any of them committing evil or unsheathing a weapon or wielding a stick or anything more than that openly, he would banish them from Madinah Munawwara. Why are you creating problems here in Madinah Munawwara? It's a peaceful city. This is now a Muslim city. There's no fighting here. There's only Muslims living here. Why are you carrying an unsheathed sword here? Why are you creating mischief here in the city? During his khilafat, he lashed a person who, during a dispute, there was a dispute between two people. This person expressed disrespect towards Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was asked the reason why he lashed that person. This was his reply, that didn't Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam show a great deal of respect to his uncle? Do you want me to allow people to now show disrespect to him? The one who does that or approves of it is going against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was narrated by Nasai and Bayhaqi in their sunans that Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, he said, avoid alcohol, for it is the mother of all evils. There was a man in the past who was a devoted worshipper. He was an abid, you know, made a lot of ibadat. But a woman fell in love with him and wanted to tempt him. She sent her slave girl to him to tell him that she was calling him to give a testimony, calling him to give shahadat about something. Now when you are called to give shahadat, then you have to comply, because deen tells us that we must reduce things to writing, or you must have witnesses, right? So now, if everybody is going to refuse to be a witness, so how are we going to comply with this hukam? وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَانِكُمْ. So she sent a message that I need you to come and bear testimony to something. So he's thinking he's going there to go and bear testimony to something. So as soon as he entered the house, they closed the doors behind him. They locked the doors behind him until he came now to this beautiful woman. She had a small baby boy with her, and she had a vessel of wine. So she said to him, by Allah, I did not call you here to give testimony. That time too, she's thinking of Allah. She said, she's going to make guna haram. She's going to do haram now. But her intention is to do haram. But that time too, she's taking oath in Allah's name. This is how shaitan can mesmerize us, you know. So she's saying, by Allah, I did not call you here to give testimony. But I called you here to fulfill my desire. So, you either do that, or you drink a cup of wine, or you kill this child. One of the three. So he at that time, you see, he's an abid, right? Don't have too much ilm. Just a worshipper. So he thought that the simplest thing, the least amount of guna, to murder the child, that's a big thing. To make zina with this woman, that's very bad. Or I'll just drink one glass of wine, that will only harm me. I won't be doing anything to anybody else. You know, fere lazim and fere mutaaddi. So he said, this one is lazim, I'll just drink wine, it's not mutaaddi, I'm not going to harm anybody else here. So I'd rather just drink the wine. But wine is a thing like that. You drink some, then you start feeling tipsy. Then you want some more. And you want some more. How do drunkards become drunk? Initially when they started drinking, they didn't think they're going to become drunk. That's why the system of the kuffar can't work. They say responsible drinking. What? After you drink, how are you going to be responsible? Your akal is gone. How are you going to be responsible? So, now you say, give him more. Like Jahannam, halmim mazid, guna is a thing like that. Just want more and more. That's why Allah Pak said, don't go near. Zina, don't go near. Because when you go near, now you won't be able to pull yourself out of the situation. He said, give me more. Now he drank so much, he's totally drunk now, that he had intercourse with that woman also, and he killed that child also. He did everything. So Usman radiallahu anhu said, avoid alcohol, for by Allah, iman, and addiction to alcohol cannot coexist. One of them will soon expel the other. It's either your iman, you say, I'm a mu'min, I can't drink. So you'll expel the alcohol. Or the person, he will continue drinking so drunk that Allah forbid, in the end he can lose his iman. Allah protect us, Allah safeguard us. Hasan Basri rahmatullah, and he said, Uthman radiallahu anhu delivered a khutbah. He praised and glorified Allah Ta'ala. Then he said, O people, fear Allah. Fear Allah. Because fearing Allah is a great treasure. It's a great treasure. The smartest of people is the one who checks himself. All the time he's checking himself. And he strives for that which comes after death. What's the Arabic of that? Al-kaysu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. And he gains from the light of Allah Ta'ala nur to light up his qabr. I remember years ago, Maulana Sema Sahib, you know Maulana Sema? He was the founder of the Darul Uloom in Newcastle. Very senior alim of the country. Very interesting history of his, Muzreed, how he came and he was returning from India, that ship got torpedoed and all that, in World War time. So anyway, Maulana Sema Sahib, he gave a bayan once. He's talking about death. And he said, a person can be an electrician. He could have put million light bulbs in his life. And lit up so many people's houses, you know, put all the electricity, connect so many houses. But when he goes in his cover, he can't put one light up. Can't then he mention a carpenter, how much cupboards and all that. But when he goes in his cover, what can he do? In other words, once you pass away, nothing you can do in the cover. So the intelligent person is that person who he watches himself. In other words, he holds his nafs back. He prepares for after death and he takes from the nur of Allah Ta'ala that light which will light up his qabr. Everyone should worry lest Allah Ta'ala resurrect him blind when he had sight. Man a'rada an dhikri fa inna lahu ma'ishatan dhanka wa nahshuruhu yawm al-qiyamati a'ma qala rabbi lima hashartani a'ma wa qad kuntu basira. That person who turns away from my ahkam, my remembrance, then he will have a very narrow life. And we will resurrect him on day of Qiyamah blind. He will ask, oh my Rabb, why have you resurrected me blind? Whereas I was a person who had sight. And then, after that, the ayat, qala, after that, فَنَسِيْتَهَا. Isn't it? We gave you our ayat, you forgot it. But, so we also now, in the same way, we're forgetting about you. فَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. A few concise words are sufficient for the wise man, but the deaf person will be called from a distant place. You should realize that the one with whom Allah is, will not fear anything. When Allah is with a person, in other words, the person has got yaqeen in Allah Pak, he won't fear anything. But the one against whom Allah is, when Allah is against a person, what hope can that person have? This morning I was reading one malfuz. I can't remember whose malfuz. The person who fears Allah, right? Person who has got the fear of Allah, then he fears nothing. And that person who doesn't have the fear of Allah, then he fears everything. It was narrated from Uthman radiallahu anhu that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْجَمَّاءَ لَتُقَصُّ مِنَ الْقَرْنَاءِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The hornless animal will settle its score with the horned one on the day of Qiyamah. In other words, day of Qiyamah, there will be justice. So don't, ignore hukukul ibad, etc. Because justice will be meted out on the day of Qiyamah. You're not going to get away. We'll continue with this, inshallah. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.